I'm suiting up!
Welcome to Doctor 3, a Hearthstone podcast dedicated to giving you explosive growth in climbing the standard rank ladder. I'm your host, Daring Alkaline, and along with me are my fellow hosts, Major Death and Nicolias. So we're gonna just launch into it like we always do and start with last week's poll question. What did we have last week and what are our results, Mage?
All right, so the last week we were talking about the balance changes on August 26th, excuse me. What class has benefited the most from the balance changes? We had four classes, Druid, Shaman, Paladin, and Hunter listed, and 71% of the votes, we had 18 votes total, 71% said Druid was so, and then 26 said Shaman. Like one person picked Paladin, and then we had a write-in candidate for Priest. And seeing the early results of last weekend's Grandmasters, it does sort of seem like Priest is, they're doing fine. They're doing okay.
A lot of so Priest mirrors in Grandmasters, I'll tell you that much, if you're not actively keeping up. Also, that Bosomdi tech, I can hear it in my head. I have a hard time pronouncing it, so.
No, you got it. So it's going to be interesting to see as we get further and further away from the balance changes to see if anything changes. But I definitely think that Druid and Shaman were, when we talked about it last week, we kind of said those two classes were definitely the ones that stood out. And apparently you guys agree with us. So we'll have another poll question at the end of the show on the topic today. So stick around for that and give us your feedback.
Perfect. All right. So we just got a couple announcements today on a new patch. Do you want to kind of go over that? It's kind of a big change to the Discover mechanic.
Yeah, so we patch 15.2 released, and with that is that's the pre-patch for the single player content that's coming next week, the Tombs of Terror. But kind of nestled in the bottom of that was some changes, and the biggest one is this Discover mechanic change, and I'll read verbatim from the patch notes. It says, cards that discover from a random pool no longer apply a class bonus. As discover pools have gotten more specific, some are too narrow and repetitive. This change will increase the variety of cards from random discover pools.
Yeah, that's I mean, I feel like the big winner for that is Xeric's Crown. Because how many times?
Yeah, because that was definitely the first thing I thought of when I saw this change.
Well, I'm just thinking. Look at.
I mean, as far as winners go, you're absolutely right. Because holy crap, rogue legendaries are really badly scattered.
Yes, there you go. That is definitely, and Power of Creation probably sees a bump as well because most of the mage legendaries seem to be kind of crappy as well. But that it was more about what kind of feels like it's getting nerfed as a result of this change as opposed to what improved as a result of this change.
Yeah, Warrior pretty much got a second nerf.
Yeah, Discovery Drone.
Between the Omega Assembly, the Dr. Boom Hero Power, the Frightened Flunky, like those are the three big Discover minions, cards that have been, that are going to be affected. Pretty much all the other Discover cards and the other classes go for spells, which obviously you can only get your own class spells, so those aren't affected.
And then and Volpiro Scoundrel also, so that's across the board. Same, it's just a spell, so it doesn't count. So yeah, that really does feel like a Warrior nerf. I was just laughing to myself, thinking I was like, "Hey, Xeric's Crown, now it's not just gonna pull, you know, Growl the Shark."
Yes, look, I got Myra Rotspring, Growl the Shark, and then some
Edwin Van Cleef.
Yeah, Edwin Van Cleef. It's like, great, thanks.
Hey, you
or
saw
Face Collector? Yeah,
I was gonna say Captain Hooktusk was in there too.
Yeah, which are all awful cards to pull off a Discover Random Legendary, so.
Yeah.
As noted warrior, more controlling warrior player, what do you how upset are you by this change, Daring? Either of you, I guess.
I'm not really super upset because I haven't been playing a lot of control warrior lately, and yeah, I feel like this probably needed to happen a while ago. It's just,
well, I keep thinking about the fact that we had an era where we had Stonehill Defender played in Odd Paladin just to find Tarum, Sunkeeper Tarum, and it's like that sort of thing isn't going to happen anymore, because I mean that was why you did that, and so like if this would have happened back then, that would have been cut immediately probably.
Yeah, I would imagine so too. Because, the Stonehill Defender was literally only played to try and get Sunkeeper Tarim, so. I feel like it's a nerf. It's not the death of Control Warrior still. I mean, it's still a solid deck. It's just Fright and Flunky. It's probably not going to be able to chain off of itself infinitely. And
Flunky into Flunky into Flunky into Armadillo.
Exactly. Oh my god. Have you been watching like my past six games? I'm not the warrior, by the way. I'm like quest shaman who's getting like flunkied to death. And getting also like four Omega Devastator'd. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like that's the big thing, I think. A lot of people's big problem with like the Omega Devastator and the Dynomatic. It's like you can deal with the first one, deal with the second one. It's when you get to the third and fourth and fifth one that it can be just absolutely absurd.
Yeah,
and this change almost completely eliminates that from happening. You still might get a third one, but I think that someone did the math and getting a Omega Devastator off of the Omega Assembly, it's a 6.6% chance now, as opposed to like a 16.6% chance. So
okay, yeah, that's
huge.
Yeah,
the games of that go about 12 to 15 turns where you see four Omega Devastators, probably they're not going to happen anymore, which is probably good. It does, however, increase the odds that Zilliacs can be found a little bit, because they're not it's not skewed towards the warrior cards. It's just a flat percentage across all of them. And so,
yeah, I have to assume that's right. It's probably not a big bump, but yeah, I was thinking very
small.
Also, two Mordens and stuff like that, where it's just like the real annoying stuff, the Vicious Scrap Hound, you know, Eternium Rover, all the little annoying things. So it'll be nice to have a truly random Discover. So it's gonna be nice to see that change. I feel like that one should have been a long time coming. Although I have enjoyed playing my fair share of Control Warrior, so I'm not gonna say I'm not to blame for this, but you know.
I also like the change in like other ways of like going forward, because as they mentioned, like as Discover pools have gone more specific and too narrow, it becomes more predictable. And by kind of having if you have like 10 options or something, but only one or two of them are in the class cards, for example, the Reborn, like this, I don't know how many, like 10, 12 Reborn cards, but most of the classes have either zero or one. So if you have like Discover a Reborn minion now, it's not gonna and you're playing warrior, it's not gonna only give you Restless Mummy, you know. It's right. It's gonna have that normalized, which I think is really interesting. They probably won't print that card. I think Reborn is just for the Uldum, but going forward we might see that with new mechanics.
Yeah, I feel like it opens a lot of design space that was kind of being limited by the design or the Discover mechanic.
Yeah, they've definitely iterated on the discover mechanic since it was first introduced, and they've now changed it so that it can narrow the pool some, and so they probably got to the point where this needed to happen. I guess my thing is I would have liked to have seen maybe a smaller advantage towards class cards before completely eliminating it to see how much of a difference it makes, but it's a small thing. So
I was gonna say they generally don't make swings that way.
It's like the micro adjustment was 2-0.
Go listen to Lightforge and they'll tell you about quote unquote micro adjustments. Like, yeah. Adjusting things like 10% isn't micro anymore. But anyways, so the next part of the patch that actually means something to us, that isn't just a bug, is Elise the Enlightened. She will now copy cards from your hand from left to right. So you'll be able to know exactly when you play her, if you have more than 5 cards in your hand, you know what cards are going to be coming back to your hand. So you can more actively play towards what's going on and what's in your hand. It's not a big change, but it is a nice consistency change instead of it just being random, because I've played some Quest Druid and it's super annoying when you play Elise and you really want 4 out of the 5 cards in your hand and you have 6 cards in your hand. You get the 4, you get one of the ones you want cut and the one you didn't want. So it's I like that a lot. So I think that's a good change for that card. It's just a quality of life more so than I feel like it's a tiny buff to the card. So.
It's more predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you're trying to do something specifically combo-ish mm-hmm. with Elise, this helps. So you know exactly what you're going to get.
So you can really focus on playing 4 Chef Gnomies.
Sure.
I've done that. That's a lot of fun, by the way. You should try it. Nothing more.
I'll get right on that.
It's pretty fun. If you like playing Quest Druid, dropping 4 Chef Gnomies in a game is ridiculous. So, okay, so that covers the news for this week. So let's go into our main topic. Nicholas, did you want to give us what you had for the week?
Yeah, so it's good that you actually mentioned the Lightforge podcast. Mm-hmm. So I'm not a huge Arena player, but I had my times of, you know, diving into it. And one of the times I did, I started listening to podcasts to try and get better at it. Lightforge was one of them. And I don't know if they coined the term or it's just something that they heard and they said as well. But on the Lightforge podcast, they said, bad players go face, good players trade, great players go face. And it took a while for me to really understand that, even though I'd been playing the game for several years at that point. But once I did understand what they were trying to say, or what that saying was meaning, it really opened my eyes to how to get my game to the next level. So this piece of advice, like I said, it's mostly for Arena, but when you think about that, the Arena is mostly minion-on-minion combat, so you can kind of translate it over to Standard when you're playing either aggressive or mid-range decks, because a lot of those decks, especially when they're going up against other aggro or mid-range decks, is minion-on-minion combat. So what does it mean? Bad players go face. These are your, you know, your turn one arcane missiles to the face, you know, for 3 damage. It's you're using your fireball on turn 6 for face damage with, like, no other play. It's throwing your resources at your opponent's face without a real plan. You're just either spending your mana or you're not doing the most efficient play. And then you get to the good player's trade. This is like your value trading. This is your controlling the board. This is like the fundamentals of Hearthstone, you know? Once you get used to playing Hearthstone, you know, you want to seize board control. You want to maintain board control. You want to make sure that your opponent doesn't get it back. And a lot of the ways that you can do that is by trading. And I'm not trying to say that you should never trade.
I'm really good at this. Thank you very much. I'll be here all week.
You know, trading is a very important part of Hearthstone, especially, like I said, if you're playing those aggro or mid-range decks. But it's the great players going phase that really, I think, trips people up, or they don't really understand what that means. And that's the one I really want to focus on. Great players go phase. What does that mean? It means that recognizing when you have the initiative, when you can dictate the state of the game and put the pressure on your opponent by ignoring their board and dealing direct damage to their face, even if you had opportunities to value trade, if you had opportunities to maintain board pressure. A scenario I was thinking about was if you and your opponent have essentially identical boards, you're at 20 life, your opponent is at, say, 23 life, but you're able to attack, like, it's your turn. You know, you can make your, trades, you can choose how that happens to make sure you have the best board coming out of that turn. Or you can say, I'm going face. I'm going to put that 10 damage to their face. I'm going to set them to 13. I'm going to play a minion or two from my hand. And now you're setting up lethal. Now your opponent is on the back foot. They are forced to deal with your minions, because if they don't, then they're going to die. And they may have to use their... They won't be able to do everything that they want. Maybe they can't even trade your entire board off, and then you're still having a little bit more damage to go face the next turn, and maybe you have a kill command or a fireball or something in your hand that, you know, you have that extra reach. It's the identifying when you're able to dictate the pace of the game, put the pressure on your opponent, and saying, I can win this in two turns. If you do not, if you want to play the minion game, I will beat you in two turns.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that?
You know what I'm thinking of when you're talking about this? This is something I haven't heard Zelay actually say this, but I've been watching a lot of Grandmasters, and this is one of the things the casters attribute to him, that he's a big proponent of play your things, hit them in the face, make them dead. Like, as just your core strategy, play your minions so they're in play, hit them in the face to get them towards zero, kill your opponent.
I've definitely heard him say that. That is definitely something he said. And the thing with, like, mid-range decks and things is you always have to be... I think the critical thing that I took from what you were saying, Nicolaius, is thinking about not just this turn, but thinking about next turn as well. And I think that starts to really kind of open your eyes as to when it makes sense, because you're basically... in that scenario, say, trying to limit your opponent's options, or trying to, like, start a face race, right? You're saying, what I'm going to do now is say, I'm putting you in check, like it's chess or something, and what are you going to do to be able to get out of it? It's giving your opponent, when you do trades and you keep doing trades and that, you give your opponent more and more time to do whatever it is they're trying to do. If it's, and it's really unfortunate when it's a control deck or a combo deck, because that's all they want, right? That's all they want. They're like, I need just need a couple more turns, and then you're going to be done. So it's thinking about not just this turn but next turn, and then that two turn clock, I think, is key too. The idea that if I push this damage face, can I kill them next turn? Can they kill me? And if they can't kill me and I can kill them, then yes, we should be sending that to the dome and making them answer.
Yeah,
exactly. I want to think about a few games that I was playing today as Quest Shaman. A lot of the times, if I was falling behind, I was praying that my opponent would trade with my minions, because that meant that wasn't going to my face. And if they, you know, if they had like, if I was at like 20 and they had, you know, 8 power on the board and they decided that I'm going to go face and set me to 12, a lot of the time I didn't have a way to effectively clear their board and heal up my life and stop them from dealing even more damage in the subsequent turns. But if they traded, you know, maybe I only got like 3 or 4 damage going to my face. I'm at 16, and now all of a sudden, not only did they weaken their own minions, but they gave me more time. They that extra 4 life or something could mean 2 more turns, in which case I can play, you know, a life drinker to gain 6, or play the giggling inventors to gain like 4 divine shield taunts, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that. It doesn't seem like a lot, but like that was the margins between life and death sometimes.
Yeah, and it feels like, especially with something like that, where you can draw something that makes the world a difference. If you're knowing what your deck can do and you're playing to your outs, like getting an extra turn or two is the world, because if you're not dead, you can keep doing the things you want to do. You can keep pressing them. And if they're making the trades for you, then, well, that's on them. That's, they're being trying to be reactive. You're being proactive.
Yeah, and going back to those games, like that extra 4 life that I was talking about, that's the difference between having to press the panic button and being like, okay, I can spend 4 mana to use my hero power and play Novice Engineer to draw 2 cards.
Ooh.
And then I'll see what I get and I can go from there, as opposed to in the other scenario, I'm at 12, I have to immediately deal with whatever's on the board. I don't have that mana to draw into a potential out. I have to deal with what I have in my hand. You know, if it's a scenario where it's like, There is 1 out in my deck and it is, you know, hero power, Novice Engineer into whatever, then you might still have to go for that. But a lot of the times it's something else, you know, like a lot, if that hero power, Novice Engineer, draw 2 cards is a nice to have, which can make dealing with the subsequent turns much easier. But you can't always do that if you're under so much pressure, right? So,
mm-hmm. For sure,
you're leveraging one of the resources that we have in this game. It's not just the mana; it's your life total, and being able to, when you put your opponent by going face, they have less of one of their resources, right? They can take less hits, that sort of thing. It then means that they have to play defensively, like you're talking about, and do things suboptimally to ensure that they don't end up dying. The one thing that I think about is like, how difficult is it for me to trade and like effectively remove whatever it is that's on the board? And right now we have one of the worst cards when it comes to trying to get rid of it on the board, which is Snip Snap. You have a mech that is a 2/3 that makes 2 1/1s, and you can effectively, if you don't have a silence, send three minions or two minions and a hero power into a snip snap to completely remove it. And that's a lot of times when I'm playing things like Tempo Rogue or things like that, it's too cost prohibitive or too much. It takes too much time and too many resources to completely remove it. And so there have been instances where you just have to leave that or leave a minion and be like, okay, the only out that really gets me right now is Ziliax and having that mechanized. But there is one copy of that in their deck, so I'm not going to play around it and just go face because I can set up that two-turn clock. And so I'm not 100% good at this yet, but I definitely have gotten better over the years, which is, you know, how much of a detriment is it for me to trade? And what is the result if I don't trade? How badly can the board swing against me if I don't? And a lot of times I think that the good players trade comment is because people overestimate how badly the swing back can be if they don't trade, right? I know that's where it is for me. I'm like, that 1/1 is going to absolutely obliterate my board if I don't kill it. And that's not true. In all reality, that is not actually what's going to happen. Yes, they could clear my board, but if I don't trade the 1/1, he gets one damage, you know, they get one damage on my face, right? So if it makes sense, you trade. But I think more often than not, I think Zalay has said that look for a reason not to go face. Your default mindset should be that you should go face and you should look for reasons not to go face. And I think a lot of the good players do it the other way around. It's like, well, why wouldn't I trade? You know, like what? There's going to be punishes. There's going to be all this sort of thing. And so, look for reasons. Think going face first, and then look at come up with reasons why you shouldn't. Or yeah.
To add on to that, the reason to trade, the biggest one I think that also requires that shift in mindset is the thinking of like two or three turns ahead. It's, am I going to deal more damage over this turn and next turn by trading, or am I going to deal more damage this turn and next turn by going face? And that's not always an easy answer. You know, is it better? You know, some of them types are really easy. You have a 1/1 and a 6/6, and your opponent has a 6/1. You're obviously going to kill the 6/1. Yeah. You know, that's, you're going to get two attacks probably with that 6/6, but sometimes it's not so easy. You know, does your 2/2 trade with their 3/2, but you have like a 6/4 on the board? Like, I'm just making up scenarios. I obviously can't get into it too deeply, but understanding where you are in the board state, understanding what removal options your opponent might have, understanding the risk or the likelihood that they have it, and then making the assessment, this is how much damage I can deal in two turns if I do this, and this is how much damage I can deal in two turns if I'd trade. It is not an easy thing. Like I said, this is like the great players. This isn't something that everybody can do. But thinking about that two-turn clock of how much damage you can do, thinking about how you can set up the lethal, thinking about, like, this is the only out, and how much do I get punished if I give them that out versus, you know, anything else. I think these kinds of mindset changes can really, really help, you know, climb the ladder.
And I think, like, one of the easiest examples in history of Hearthstone to just think about it is, like, a two-turn lethal. Think of, like, Freeze Mage, Alexstrasza, Fireball, Frostbolt. If your opponent has no ability to get above 15 health, it's a guaranteed 2-turn lethal. Like, that's just the simplest, like, thing I can think of in the history of, like, Hearthstone. Just be like, what is my 2-turn clock? And, like, what can I do to end the game in 2 turns? And that's, like, just something. And I'm not saying it's that easy all the time, but that's just, like, an example of what you can look for to end the game in 2 turns. But that's, I mean, that's you taking a look at your hand at the beginning of turn 9 saying, well, I have 2 fireballs and a frostbolt in my hand, and I have Alexstrasza. If I play Alexstrasza this turn, he goes down to 15. I fireball, frostbolt. That's 15 damage, and the game's over.
I think about how many Leroys it's going to take to hit him in the face.
Leroy, Wagglepick, Leroy. Yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So it definitely can be difficult, and it is game winning and losing. I mean, it can be as simple as one minion, because you can end up being that 1 or 2 damage short. That if you wouldn't have made that trade, if you'd have taken a minute, thought, okay, what was the punish by trade, you know, by going face here, you make that extra hit to the face and you end up getting lethal as a result of it, and because you traded, you don't, and those sorts of things happen. But I think you just have to play and get, as you get more familiar with your deck and what you're trying to do and all the damage options, and as you get in similar sorts of situations, you can kind of start to feel out a little bit better what it is you should do in given situations. That's why these guys that are pro players and grandmasters are doing hundreds and hundreds of games, because they need the reps to kind of get in those sorts of situations to figure out what is, you know, I'm just gonna go face, and then we'll see what the blowback is in this matchup versus, you know, not trading in this same instance.
And I think go ahead.
I think the other thing related to this that is good to identify is, when are they going to do the trade for you?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a 4-3 on the board and your opponent has a 3-2, they're going to trade that 3-2 into your 4-3 9 times out of 10. So you can either do that trade for them, or you can send that 4 damage to the dome and then it dies anyway the next turn. Like,
yeah, don't make the trades that they're gonna make for you.
Exactly.
You always take that damage.
You make the trades when you have to, and a lot of the times they're going to do it for you. So yeah, I totally agree with that. And I was gonna add something else, but I forgot once you started going down that. but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's just keep going, because I'm not going to remember. It'll come like at the end of the show, like, oh, I could have said this. okay. So I think we've kind of covered everything that we wanted to hit on this topic. It's just, I think I remember what I was going to say now. Knowing your matchups too, and knowing when you can go for a long shot because you have to. If it's a really bad matchup for you, sometimes you just have to, like, know what your deck's limits are. And, you know, just be like, I'm not going to win unless he doesn't have something, you know, like a Control Warrior versus Zulok. And you're just like, coin flame imp, and just be like, let him deal with it. And, you know, it's, you have to just pick your shots in those kinds of matchups, and, you know, ship face, because that's really going to be your only option there. And just knowing that it's a long shot anyways, and just making, I feel like, informed risks against things like that. That was what I was trying to add to the conversation. So does anyone else want to add anything before we move on to the end of the show?
I'm going to take away from this, I need to be a great player. I need to go face. That's what I'm going to take from this.
Well, good man.
There we go. Win. Yes.
I'm probably just an awful player because I just play control decks. like all trading all the time. I've just literally been rocking control shaman. So like that's and then just silly other things like quest hunter.
No, it was a good discussion, Nicolaus. There's a lot there to unpack and think about, and hopefully you think about those things when you're in the game and you're making and you're staring at the start of your turn, the card comes into your hand and you start thinking about that when you got minions on the board and you see opportunities there to go face and where it makes sense, you do that.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I think of, are they going to trade with me if I go face? And like you said, Nicolaus, or Mage, what are my reasons not to go face? So, and that's coming from Zalay, but I feel like that's a really good thing to think about is, I'm going face, why wouldn't I? Yeah. So, okay. So let's go ahead and move into the end of the show. So, poll question this week, Mage?
So, our poll question is about the topic about trading or going face, and completely anonymous on Twitter, I am going to ask you, how often do you struggle with whether or not to trade or to go face? This is, we're not going to call people out for admitting where they're at on the spectrum, but I have four options for you. Hardly ever. I never struggle with this. It's not a problem. Once every few games, once in almost every game, or multiple times in most games. And obviously that's going to vary depending on the deck and how well you know it. But just overall, when you sit down in a play session, if you were being honest, and I would say that I'm probably once in almost every game, it feels like, to me. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely more so when I'm new to a deck. But I'd like to get everybody else's thoughts on how, where they're at in the spectrum, and think so that we know where we're at and think about how we can improve.
Yeah, I would. I'm very interested. I feel like I'm in that category two Mage when I'm playing the aggressive mid-range deck. That is not my strongest suite, so it's kind of, I feel like I'm in that boat too, so I can relate a lot. So all right guys, so we wanted to do something new for the next coming up couple of weeks. We wanted to do a raffle, and the raffle would be for 1 hour coaching sessions for one of the hosts of Doctor 3, Major Death, Nicolaus, or myself. Will give you an hour coaching session, and all you need to do to enter is leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play and whatever podcaster you catch us on. If you can leave a review there, please feel free. If you could send us a note on Twitter at Dr3HS, or you can even email us about it at Dr3@gmail.com. And so if you leave us a review, we'll go ahead and read it on the show. Number one. Number two, your review will be a ticket for you to win a coaching session. That's just kind of a way to get us a little more visibility And if you like what you're hearing, we would appreciate a review. And if there's something you feel like we could do better, also would appreciate the feedback of any kind. So with that, if you could leave us a review, you'll be possibly getting our coaching session with one of us. So, and as I said before the show, I feel like it's going to be Nikolaius, the guy who's finished in top 200 legend. But if you want to get coached by me, then more power to you. And you're a crazier person than I. That's also where you can find the show. You can find us on Twitter at Dr3HS. You can email the show at Dr3@gmail.com if you have anything you want to hear about, any feedback, anything like that. You can also find our Discord, Dr3HS, which conveniently enough, if you go to Twitter, pinned tweet up there is the link to our Discord. So, Mage, where can we find you?
So you can find me in our Discord and a few other Hearthstone Discords, just at Major Death there, and then at Major Death on Twitter, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I stream at twitch.tv/MajorDeath as well.
Also, cool thing you're doing tomorrow I saw on Twitter is you're doing a Ask Me How to Play or Hearthstone questions.
Next Monday.
Oh, is that next Monday?
I misread that. Every month or so, I do a "How can I help?" night. We ask me any Hearthstone related questions. If you want a co-op partner for a new deck, any of those sorts of things, anything I could do to help you get better at Hearthstone, I'm happy to help. So just come on by.
That's what we're all about. Nikolaius, where can people find you?
Yeah, Twitter at Nikolaius123. I'm on our Discord, and I'm also in the Coin Conceit Discord.
And you can find me on Twitter at Daring Alkaline. And I think that's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for stopping by, guys. And you've been listening to Dr. 3.